Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast, where every week we want to give you encouragement through different means, such as testimonies, dialogues with guests, along with diving into the scriptures and exploring the incredible life-transforming truths inside it. So with all that being said, here's another episode for you to tune into and listen to. God bless. Enjoy the episode. Hey, so today's topic of discussion is something that I've been just encouraged by myself that I want to bring some encouragement to you guys with. And it's on the topic of assurance, right? And the title of the podcast episode today is He Wants You to Be Assured About Your Faith, About Who He Is, and About the Promises He's Made to You. That he's gone to prepare a place for you and I, and that when that place is ready, there's no delay. He's going to come and receive us to himself once and for all. Amen. And I suppose for me, because I like to know and think about words that people use, I was thinking about assurance. Now, we all have some vague understanding of what the word means, you know, but there's three meanings that I've discovered that actually are kind of really cool and interesting to just consider. The first one is assurance. It offers freedom from doubt and uncertainty. It presents confidence about the future. It inspires confidence in someone or something. And I love how those three meanings are going to be applied to what we're going to dive into today with the Gospel of John in just a moment, right? And let me just get it now. Yeah. And I was thinking about it, right? So, as well as doing podcasting, you know, I've had the privilege of being able to release a poetry book, working on book number two as well at the moment. I've done merchandise, I've done video shoots, and often with the video shoots, when I do a video shoot, I get locked into a contract. And a contract is an agreement, or an agreement between two parties to fulfill a certain expectation on both ends. And we signed that and agreed it. I pay you this if this is what you do. And in light of this, you know, there's just things that both sides want to do. So there's an agreement in a contract that I have with my video guys every time I do them, right? And then secondly, I was thinking about these headphones, right? These headphones that I use in every video just because I think they're comfortable to wear. When I bought them probably about 2.5 years ago, I still have the gift receipt and the general receipt. And the gift receipt, basically, what it does for me is if there's something wrong with these headphones that is out of my control, I can bring the receipt back. Obviously, if it's within a 12-month period. So there's an assurance with what I've purchased that I can get a fix. Obviously, now I'm gone beyond 2 years. You know, so often we throw receipts away, but some of those receipts that we have, they're a guarantee of purchase, a guarantee of refund, a guarantee of your certain expectations being met. There's an assurance with it, right? And the Bible that you and I get to read, we have assurance in writing. It's official. God's word is true. It has stood the test of time. It is timeless, so we can always trust that it's timely, you know? And Jesus knew how important it was for his disciples to be assured of his love. So much so that just prior to him going to the cross for our sins, he spent a portion of time assuring them of his love for them, assuring them that he was going to go away, but also that he's going to come back. You know, so there's an assurance, right, with that. And in his last conversation he had with the disciples before he died, he uses three examples that showed them how committed he was to them. And that's what we're going to dive into today. They were about to go through hell on earth, the disciples, whether they realized it or not, after Jesus would die. And he wanted to give them something to hang on to that would sustain them in difficult times. And I believe that the same can be true for me and you today as we take time to reflect on the truth of the scriptures and allow the scriptures to minister to us, to stir our hearts for Jesus. And we're just going to dive straight into it. The first example I want to look at is when he calls us his beloved bride. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, it says the following. Don't let your hearts be troubled. trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Now listen to this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And you know, it's interesting because in Jewish weddings, well, in Jesus's day, right, to be specific, the man would travel to his partner's home, and he would throw a party. And at that party, he would request his partner's hand in marriage. And if she said yes, he would return to his father's home, where he would begin construction on a room attached to his family's living space. And when the space was completed or finished, he would return for her to bring her where he was going. So that's an interesting image for you and I just to think of, about when Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for us. Think of that image, how the man is going to prepare a place for his wife, and he's going to receive her to himself when that's done. That there's an end goal with the construction. That it's not just like some of the workers in Ireland, the council people, who will, it's a job that takes a month, it will take maybe 2 or 3 years. It's not like that. When the heaven is ready for us, he's going to receive us to himself, right? And Jesus knew, and he knows, that we would not have a trouble-free life. But he promised that we could have an untroubled heart, even in a troubled world. He speaks about heaven with confidence, which I love. And here it's spoken of as his father's house, with love. With love, expectant parents prepare a room for their baby. You know, you think of it, you know, if you know anyone that's pregnant or has been pregnant and brought a child into the world, just to set aside that room in the house, you know, they paint it, they'll get new carpet on the floor, they'll get the baby toys, the cot, the crib, the nice curtains, the baby lights, and they put so much love and care into that room because they know they're going to bring someone in that needs a room to be nurtured and loved and cared for and sleep. And that's kind of what it's like, right? Because Jesus prepares a place for his people because he loves them and he is confident of their arrival. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus is confident of your arrival to heaven once you put your faith in him? I think that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Jesus' solution to difficulty is not a recipe. It is a relationship with him. And the second example I want to look at is where he talks about us being his beloved children. And it's going to be in John chapter 14 as well, same chapter, right? Verses 15 to 18. Let's see now, 15 to 18. If you love me, obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And let's jump down to verses 26 to 27. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representation, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Amen. And the disciples feared that Jesus was abandoning them. Now, you got to bear in mind, he was someone that they spent all day, every day with, traveling everywhere, seeing these miracles, having this physical closeness with him because he was with them everywhere. And now they're going to enter into a, I suppose, maybe a different dimension or a different reality of their relationship with him. that he's going to be physically distant from them, but always present with them in a different form. And I think that, like us, that terrified them. There's this act of aspect of maybe feeling that he's just, oh yeah, it's just, is this really what I believe? Was this just a waste of my time? And I wonder, was that really something that the disciples would have feared? You know, because so often we can, like, think of it this way. If you've been in church any length of time, you have gone to some youth weekends, young adult weekends, conferences. And the beautiful thing about those conferences and weekends is that there's a strong sense of unity, a massive encouragement around the people around you, the preaching, the fellowship, the interactions, and it really stirs your heart. You can really feel on fire afresh, right? But then there's a time where we have to go back to life, back to work, back to school, back to college, back to our homes, and trust that the same God who met us at those conferences is the same God who's going to meet us right now. Like, I'm sitting in my room on my own. I don't have a worship team behind me. I don't have a pastor preaching this, that, and the other. I have to put faith into action for myself in these moments. And that's the same for us. Like, we have different aspects of trusting the Lord. It's easy to trust him when you're in a crowd of witnesses. What about when you're on your own? That's where faith really hits the road for a lot of us, right? And I love that it says in John 14, 18, I will not leave you orphans, comma, I will come to you. You know, and I was thinking about orphans, right? And I was thinking about how an orphan has parents who are dead, unfortunately, right? But the Holy Spirit shows us that Jesus is alive. An orphan is left alone. But the Holy Spirit reminds us of God's presence. An orphan has lost their provider. But the Holy Spirit provides all things for you and I as believers. An orphan is left without instruction. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. An orphan has no defender, but the Holy Spirit brings peace, protection, and provision. You know, and I was thinking about it. I was thinking about how could I use a real life example of this to illustrate the love that a father has for his child. And I've probably said it many a times, but my brother is a prime example of a father who dearly loves his son, loves his child. And the what I love about it is that Joshua will nag Danny a lot. You know, Joshua will find something and think it's the greatest thing in the world, and he wants dad to know. Or if he's in pain or confused, he wants dad to know. Like, dad has prior first priority in his heart about everything. Even if he's shown dad 100 times, he wants to show him every time because it's new. And what I love that Danny does in those moments that I've got to witness myself is he never brushes it off. It's never just, ah, yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, whatever. Show me something new. It's always the same love and interest and concern that a father has for his son to reassure his son that no matter what it is that you've experienced or found or are confused about, I'm here. I care for you. I love you. And how much more does our Heavenly Father want that same assurance for us as believers in the 2024 year that we're currently living in, with so much turmoil, so much uncertainty, confusion, maybe fears about the future? The Lord wants to give you and I assurance right now, to give us assurance in the present so that we can journey into the future with expectation for what he might do through our lives as we trust him. And the same God, sorry, the same love that God the Father has for the Son is the same love that the Father has for us. Isn't that amazing? Let me say that again. The same love that God the Father has for the Son is the same love that the Father has for us. Amen. And the third example I want to look at that he wants us to be assured of is that we are called his friends. In John chapter 15, verses 13 to 17, I'm going to read it. It says the following. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to produce everlasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. And I want to say this. Safety in a friendship is one of the most powerful things to have. To feel safe. To feel safe in someone's presence. Not feeling like you always have to speak. Or feeling safe knowing that you have that person that you can vent to and not feel judged, condemned, stupid. It's a beautiful thing to have. And I'm so thankful that in many of my friendships and relationships, I actually have a safety, a strong sense of safety. No matter what I'm talking about, no matter what I'm sharing that's maybe on my heart or my mind that's weighing me down, I always feel very safe with the people that I offload my burdens to, you know? Because it's where you can be yourself around them, saying what's on your mind without it worrying if they will betray your confidence or abandon you. Do you ever have a friend who has broken your trust? I have. I'm sure you have too. But have you been the one who has broke the trust of your friend? I have, and I'm sure you have too. So we are able to see both sides of the equation because of our nature, right? Maybe you are never sure that in your friendships that there is a sense of protecting or covering, or maybe if they're going to trash your name or not. And I say this because Jesus wants us to be absolutely assured of his friendship to us. Because I've said it, John 15:13, it says there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. From the beginning, he saw it all and chose us anyway. You didn't choose me. I chose you, is what the scriptures say. I think that's incredible. You know, it's so often I've said it to our youth ministry that I've been serving in for probably about over 10 years now. And for periodically when I'm preaching, I will go back to this point and I will say it to them. I'll say, how many of your friends are willing to die for you? Powerful thought when you think of it, isn't it? And the reality is that no one. I wouldn't die for anyone. I'm very selfish at the core of who I am. I don't think any of us would die for someone, let alone someone we don't know. But that's the love of the Father, that before we knew him, he already knew us, you know? Jesus redeems our past. He gives us hope for the future. And he empowers us in the present circumstances. Let me say that again. Jesus redeems our past. He gives us hope for the future. And he empowers us in our present circumstances. And that's just a short kind of a tangent or a topic of on the topic of assurance. So why not spend some time in John chapter 14 and 15 for yourself? It'll take probably about 5-10 minutes to read both them. And allow it to stir your heart, to encourage you. Because we all need assurance. Some days more than others, we're prone to forget, we're prone to wandering, which is why we read the Word of God every day, because it's relevant every single day of our lives. And until next week, take care. God bless. Why not share it with a friend, family member, and allow it to be a blessing to them this week. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast. Did you enjoy the episode? Maybe did it encourage you or motivate you? Do you think that someone in your life could benefit or be blessed by this episode? If so, then why not send it to them? Lastly, don't forget to like, share and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use. This massively helps to spread the podcast literally all across the world. And don't forget, the hope is to life as oxygen is to the body. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Take care.